Episode 130, How Elephants Self-Publish. We've got a cracking podcast for you today, and the human futurist himself, Kieran Harty, talks about to self-publish or not to self-publish. That's the question. I also have two good tools to share with you to help you keep you focused when you're writing your next bestseller.
A clearer voice for business online. More focus. All the pointers for social media are here. The tools and techniques to give you an edge. All in the Online Marketing Audio Blog, presented as ever by Julia Doherty of Green Umbrella.
Yo, yo, yo. Hello, hello, hello. And a really warm welcome to the Online Marketing Audio Blog. My name is Julia Doherty from Green Umbrella. This is an audio version of the blog that's written on the Green Umbrella website, and its focus is on the small business owner. Hopefully that's you guys. We appreciate that business owners wear so many hats nowadays, and therefore we need to learn lots of new skills if we're going to be successful. And this blog is here to help. From finance to social media and everything else in between, you're going to find it here on the audio blog.
Snapchat, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Bebo, Boo Boo, Coochie Coo, Who's a Pretty Boy Then? All the platforms are covered here.
In each episode, I always add a little something which is just for you listeners in the tool or technique of the day. So before we transition over to the guest blog, let me share with you today's tool of the day. In fact, I've got two tools of the day for you today.
The Online Marketing Audio Blog. Tools and techniques.
As you already may know, writing a book has been on my list of things to do for such a long time now, and my dream finally came to fruition in February this year. Although the process took nearly a year from start to finish, there's nothing quite like picking up your own book in WH Smith's, Barnes & Noble, Waterstones, whatever. It's just a fantastic feeling. Anyway, there was one particular tool that helped me keep focused during this time of actually writing the book, and another tool that I really wish I'd known about beforehand. The first one is a productivity application that can be used either on desktop or I'm now using it on my smartphone, and it's called Focus at Will. When I'm about to write a blog or an article, or I sit down to write a next chapter of my book, I simply click onto this app and plug in my headphones. Apparently 50% of us play background music while studying or working, but apparently it's the wrong type of music. Mainstream music lowers comprehension and creates distraction because it's designed to connect with you intellectually and emotionally. Focus at Will technology delivers various attention amplifying music channels scientifically designed to engage with your brain's limbic system. Even I had to Google that and find out what that meant. Apparently it soothes the easily distracted fight or flight mechanism, increasing attention span and general focus. And you know what? It works. I'm not one for classical music, but you don't have to listen to the classical side of things. Simply choose from a whole range of categories. There's a free trial, and if it's not your thing, then what have you lost? Absolutely nothing. So check it out. That's Focus at Will. The other tool that I wish I'd known about before writing my first book was one that I've mentioned before, which was Grammarly.com. I was really naive enough to think that asking friends to spell check the book was good enough for me, but how wrong was I? Grammarly not only checks for spelling and grammar, but it also has a clever vocab suggesting process, and it also checks for plagiarism and so much more. I now pay monthly for this as it's my lifesaver for me, as I'm not the best of spellers. So even if you're typing online anywhere doing a Facebook status update or LinkedIn update or a tweet or something like that, it checks it for you as you type, and it's a great bit of kit. Anyway, the links for both of these tools can be found at green-umbrella.biz/130. We're on episode 130 now.
Geocacher, podcaster, mother, social media geek, wife. At Julia Doherty is where you'll find her on Twitter.
Okay, it's now time for the human futurist to make his debut appearance. I met Kieran at the tail end of last year, and you know what? We just clicked. It's got one of those brains that's always on the go. And we ended up chatting about Quantum Leap. Do you remember that program with, is it Sam Beckett and Al? And he jumps around from different lifetimes. And it's all about quantum physics, but, you know, presented in a good way. Anyway, I won't go on about that. But Kieran is a talented writer. He's a great speaker. He's really funny. And he's like a comedian. And he always has me in hysterics whenever I listen to him speak. And he's a business coach as well. He's got a unique style, which I think you'll enjoy. And as he reads his first Green Umbrella blog for me, How Elephants Self-Publish, actual fact, what I'll do is I'll leave it over to Kieran. So over to you, Kieran.
In every episode, get the view from the outside. A stack of subscribers. The how-to articles that create action. It's the guest blogger.
Hello. My name's Kieran Harty, and I'm the latest Green Umbrella guest blogger. The theme of my blog is How Elephants Self-Publish. Let me start by telling you a little bit about me and my philosophy before moving on to the subject of how elephants self-publish. I'm an expert in helping ambitious organisations create teams of motivated, self-reliant achievers. I've coached and developed thousands of managers and leaders and worked with many teams over the years. And if you'd like to know why my current Twitter profile says human futurist and purveyor of goodness by loyal appointment to the Internet of People, you might want to check my Twitter account or visit my website on www.igiveyou.co.uk, and that's spelled I-G-I-V-E-U. I give you. Now, my philosophy is very simple. It's all about deep belief in the potential of people. And that's probably why I love Green Umbrella and I'm doing this guest blog for them. So let's start with a few reflective questions for you. This is about writing. Have you ever had any kind of desire to write a book? If you're a small business, like me, have you ever been told that it would be advantageous to have written a book? And if the answer is yes to either of those questions, have you ever felt daunted by the prospect of writing a book? And I guess that my final question to you would you be interested in listening to somebody who's been in your position but managed to do it? In other words, to write that book. That's me. You may have heard a book described by some as a great calling card or the ultimate business card, the golden boss business card that really showcases your credibility. And it certainly brings you that additional level of credibility with potential clients, for example. And it's a wonderful thing to see copies of your book at the back of a room, especially if people buy some. Even giving away signed copies of your book could create business opportunities. In other words, can be a pretty good idea. So what's stopping you? There's certain businesses where it's more obvious that a book would make a very good marketing tool. For example, marketing. There are many books out there providing tips on how to find more clients and grow your business, right? Similarly, for the areas that I work in, there are many books about coaching, leadership, and speaking, I'm a speaker, as well as stacks and stacks of self-help books of one type or another. But there was only one book called How to Eat the Elephant in the Room. And that's my book. It was self-published. And I'm very proud that all aspects of the book, including printing, were done in Oxfordshire. And that's at a time when big publishing houses are outsourcing printing and other things to places like India. So I'm proud of that. Now, when you make the courageous decision to write a book, and I salute you in advance if you do, you've got two choices. Do you self-publish, or do you try and find a publisher? Before I share advice about self-publishing, let's talk about the publishing route first and give you a few tips on that. So far, we've talked about business books, or what we call non-fiction. But do any of you have the secret desire to write fiction? I do, and I'm working on a children's book as we speak. It's about magic and it's like a cross between Harry Potter and the Matrix. And one day I'll finish it, and one day you'll read it and love it. So that's one of my personal dreams, if you like. Writing a fiction book is daunting. First of all, there's the writing part. And then, of course, you have to find a publisher. Many of us never start because of that daunting prospect alone. And indeed, many authors are never published at all. So there we go. And here's a few tips from me. First of all, make the decision. Once you do that, you've got a project on your hands, not a dream, a project. Second, do your research on the book. You may have a great idea, but turning that idea into 100,000 words is hard. I'd suggest that you check out the Writers and Artists website and purchase their annual yearbook. You may have heard of it. It's called the Writers and Artists Annual Yearbook. They also do lots of workshops and events in London near Bloomsbury, all of which are very reasonably priced. I think they're really cheap, and I strongly recommend them. Third, do your research on how to hook an agent. In fact, Writers and Artists do a workshop called How to Hook an Agent. The path to publishers is through agents. These days, many agents want to see a finished work, not just the first few chapters, so be aware of that. And again, Writers and Artists are a great source of advice on agents and how to attract their attention. Fourth, find your author's voice. Now, that's your distinctive way that you write, by attending workshops, literary festivals, speaking to other authors, joining local authors' groups, and getting feedback on your writing. You will not be disappointed if you do that, and it'll really improve your writing skills and help you to find that author's voice. That's really important, and I hear agents talking about that all the time. And five, just start writing. We find so many excuses not to write, and we do so much editing in our head that prevents stuff getting on the page. So when I say just start writing, I mean to give your brain permission to just splurge out the words as fast as possible without doing any editing. Use a dictation machine or an app on your iPhone like I do. Just splurge out the words. You are not the editor. Someone else is. I'll come to the editor piece later on. You are not the editor. You are the splurger out of the words. Just get it on the page. Okay? Now, I made the decision to self-publish my first business book and left my children's book on the back burner for a couple of years in order to do that piece, which was to find my own author's voice. Because agents want to see some kind of uniqueness when they read your words. They want something to excite them. And that's what will get them excited and make them want to be your agent and to pitch your work to publishers, because then they've got to do that part. So it's not straightforward. If you think that self-publishing is the right way forward, of course, I urge you to pay attention to the following tips. What I'm saying is that my pain will be your gain. I, first of all, took advice from friends who are authors, and they've had many books published. And I found that they were somewhat cynical about the value of traditional publishing. I wish I knew then what I know now when I made the decision to self-publish. It's a tough journey. And let me tell you the story step by step with tips and advice along the way. But let me first of all give you the tips in brief and then tell you a little bit more about how to do it. Tip one, like I said earlier, make the decision. Go for it. Write the book. Tip two, get a rough idea of the costs, because there are costs involved, and can you afford them? That's important. Tip three, find an editor before you do too much writing. That is critical to your success in getting the project completed. You are not the editor, remember what I said? Tip 4, this can wait a little bit, but find a proofreader. That's not always the editor. That's the person who checks for mistakes and makes sure that everything is A-OK. That usually happens late in the process, but it's good to find one early. Tip 5, find a person to do your artwork and typesetting. I was lucky. I found somebody in Oxfordshire who was able to do both, and they are fantastic. Tip 6, find a good printer, again, in the UK, who won't rip you off, because you can get quite a variety of quotes for printing your book. And price, let me tell you, is very, very important. So find a good printer. The printer that I use is called Artisan, and are based in Oxfordshire, and they are fantastic. Tip 7, decide on how you will distribute the book, for example, Amazon, but think about that at an early stage, because that's not straightforward a process. There's a lot of work involved. Tip 8, realize that you will have to do a lot of work promoting and marketing the book. So don't do what I did, was to leave it all until the last minute. Think about that early on. And the final tip, tip 9, decide if you want to do all of the above yourself, in other words, project manage the whole process, or get somebody to do it for you, because that's something that you can do. I'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. Now, once you've made the decision to write a book, realize that it's probably not going to be a bestseller. I'm just being honest. Yes, Amazon can be manipulated, I know that, to achieve bestseller status, quote unquote, over a 1 week period where you do all kinds of things. But I wouldn't recommend that. You know, I've got pride. The primary benefit of a book is to help you to get more business, not just to be able to claim bestseller status by selling 300 books in a short period of time. Something important, it sounds a bit corny, but how big will your book be? In a normal sized book, say of the type that you might consider writing, there are about 350 pages, right? So, 350 words per page. So a 100-page book would be around about 35,000 words, and that's not bad. That's a nice size, although I prefer a little bit more. I use the word heft a lot, a nice heft when you feel the book in your hand, or thud factor when you drop it on the ground, to my book. So 50,000 words is more like what I would want, and that's around about the 140-page mark. You've probably been to networking meetings when somebody was promoting their book, and maybe like me, you smiled when you saw the book and it looked more like a pamphlet. In other words, very thin book. Now, that's not for me, per se. I don't want to put you off. But if I was going to write a small book, you know, maybe we're talking just maybe 10, 15,000 words, I'd make it small. So I'd make it still have that quality of a book, but make it small, you know, maybe a few inches square. And there's been some very successful books which have been small in size. You just put it in your pocket. It might be something like Kieran's Little Book of Mindfulness. And you can just pull it out and read it on a train or a plane journey. Now, before I talk about your most important investment, that's an editor, let me tell you that there are some companies in the UK who I would describe as a kind of a hybrid publisher. And there's two friends of mine who run such companies where for a range of fees, depending on what they do for you, starting at around about £3,000, they'll manage most of the process for you. I'm talking about the editing, the proofreading, the artwork, the typesetting, giving advice about distribution, etc. Typically doesn't include printing. There's a different piece for that. But you would need to speak to them about it. Now, I managed the whole process myself, and as a result, I've got some great recommendations in Oxfordshire for the printing, for the artwork, typesetting, and I now know, I really know the process in depth. But I would recommend that you consider hiring somebody to handle all of it for you. And the people that I know are the Book Midwife, and that's the Book Midwife, who is Mindy Gibbons Klein. Check out the written version of this blog for the spelling, or a brilliant guy called Aid Instone at sunmakers.co.uk. That's Sunmakers, S-U-N-M-A-K-E-R-S. Excluding printing, a good budget would probably be £4,000 to £5,000. Sounds expensive, but writing a book's not a cost. It's an investment. And let's face it, you might as well do the best job that you can on it. If you do decide to go it alone, think well ahead of time about the following really important things. We sometimes forget them. There is a lot in the process. Every book needs a unique ISBN number. And the only place you can get them is from a UK company called Nielsen. That's N-I-E-L-S-E-N. And Nielsen are specialists in books. And they can give you advice on everything that you need to do and the right information that you need to put on the inside of the cover and the back cover of your book. So that's really useful resources. That's Nielsen's. The Kindle version of the book requires a completely different approach and format. I learned that at my cost, and there were some delays because I didn't realise that. And I'd recommend a company called the eBook Partnership to help you with that. If you want to do publicity or a book launch, again, don't do what I did and leave it until the last minute, to the end of the process. Do plenty of promoting to your network well ahead of completion of the book, because you will complete the book, won't you? Now, printing can be very expensive, so pay attention to it, especially if your book ends up on Amazon, because once you take printing costs into account, say for example £5 a copy, and that can be print on demand for small batches of books, and Amazon take their cut, there's not that much left for you. It's more than from traditional publishers, but you do need to take this into account when you decide how much you're going to charge for the book. So in other words, if it costs £5 to print each copy, you're going to need to have more than £5 left over after Amazon take their commission. Otherwise, you're going to lose money on every copy. So pay attention to that. I'm not trying to put you off writing your book, but you know the old saying, forewarned is forearmed, right? I had masses of fun writing How to Eat the Elephant in the Room because I decided to be as creative as possible and a bit quirky as well during the writing process. I had control over the artwork, and in fact, it was my idea in the end that went on the cover, and I had control over the quality of the paper, the cover, the kind of colours we used. And at the end of the process, I've got to admit, it felt like I'd completed my master's degree in book publishing. I'm not one to brag, but I'm now a publisher and an author. It feels great. But how about you? You can do it as well. So that's me, Kieran Harty, human futurist and purveyor of goodness by loyal appointment to the Internet of People. It's been a pleasure to do this guest blog for Green Umbrella. And the wonderful Julia Doherty. She is a wonderful, truly wonderful person. For my new series of video blogs, podcasts and normal blogs about human futurism, the Internet of People and other quirky topics, please check into my website. That's www.igiveyou.co.uk. And if you'd like, subscribe to my mailing list. It would be lovely to hear from you. Many of us believe that we have a book in us. I agree. Go for it. Bye for now. Thanks.
Thank you for listening.
Kieran, you can certainly come back again. Highly entertaining and a very insightful blog. Joe, when I sat down to write my first book, I had no idea how I was going to get it published. I simply wanted to get it written. I was lucky enough to be approached by a publisher who was happy to take on a novice writer, There's something about having a publisher saying your writing is good enough to print that gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling inside. I've learned so much in the process that I feel a little bit more confident if I ever decide to go down the self-publishing route. The publishers also took it to market to me, and I had very little to do with this, which was great. I can imagine that it's a challenge though if you're self-publishing to do the marketing all by yourself. Anyway, thanks again, Kieran, for this wonderful article, and we hope to see you back here again in a few months. To read today's article from Kieran and to find the link to his own book, How to Eat the Elephant in the Room, and to also see the link to today's tool of the day, or today's tools of the day, which was Focus at Will, which was that productivity app I was telling you about, and Grammarly.com, please visit all the W's green-umbrella.biz/130. I also urge you to follow Kieran Harty on Twitter by following at Kieran Harty. Harty is H-E-A-R-T-Y. Beware though, he's a funny guy.
Next time, the online marketing audio blog returns with more social media, the guest blog, tools and techniques, hot topic, and all the latest news. Catch Julia then. And in the meantime, pay us a visit at green-umbrella.biz.
That's it for this episode. Take care for now. See you soon. Take care. Ta-da. Bye-bye.
This episode has been produced by 13 Media Arts on behalf of Green Umbrella.